I want to do what I can to teach faith promise missions this evening. So Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, this really doesn't have a direct link to giving, but I want you to see this right at the beginning as we start. God has given you faith. In fact, God has given every man, according to this verse, a measure of faith. Now, I want to take a quick poll. I say measure and measure. I kind of get them confused. I know it's supposed to be measure. Am I even close? Who says measure? All right. Who says measure? Okay. So maybe that's why I'm the one that's confused on that one. All right. Now, that finally makes sense to me. So thank you, Mom, for raising your hand on that. All right. So God has given to every man a measure of faith. And in honor of my mom, I'm going to say that. So every one of us. And here's what we need to understand before we even get into talking about faith promise missions. The faith that we get for everything in this life comes from God. God gives us faith for salvation. He gives us faith to grow. And He gives us the faith that we need in order to be able to help support His work in mission. So that's our starting point. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to give you several verses right here at the beginning. And we're just going to look at three different words. Faith, the word promise, and the word missions, and that's how we're going to start. And then I'll give you some other verses as we go through this. Faith, promise, missions. What is that all about? Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter that is often called the chapter of faith or the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, gives us a description of faith. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We understand that it's impossible to please God without faith. So as we're talking about missions, and our focus for the next 3 weeks is on missions, if I'm going to try to please God by giving to missions and supporting missions, if I try to do that on my own, I'm not going to please God. I want to please God. I want to please God by how I give to missions, but I can't do that on my own. If I give an enormous amount of money, and I give that, and that's not in faith, that doesn't please God. See, God's not impressed or pleased with an enormous amount of money. God already has an enormous amount of money. He's got everything that He needs. He's the one that gives it to us so that we can give it to missionaries. What God wants to see is faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God has given you a measure of faith, And God has not only given you a measure of faith, but now He says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So understand this. We're not looking for a certain amount of money to give. We're not looking for a large amount of money to give. Although if that's what God says to do, then you ought to do it. We're looking for faith. What I need in my life, as I start looking at missions and I start thinking, how can I help to get the gospel around the world? What I need is faith. I don't need a lot of money. God's got that taken care of. But I need faith. And I need to give in faith. And sometimes God's going to challenge my faith. And sometimes as God comes and He says, I want you to give this amount to missions, and it challenges my faith sometimes, but I need faith. And if I do it on my own, it's sin. In fact, in Romans 14, 23, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read this. The last part of the verse says this, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Wouldn't it be awful if you gave to missions this year, this next year, you plan to give to missions, and your giving to missions is sinful? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? That just sounds awful. We don't want that. Whatsoever is not of faith, the Bible says sin. So here's what we want to do. We want to go forward. We want to be able to give to missions. But we want to give to missions in faith. We want it to be what God puts on our heart, and we want to give what God has us to give. Okay, so it's impossible to please God without faith. That's faith. Now, what about promise? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, there's a lot of lessons right in there about giving to missions. In fact, we'll be referencing that over the next few weeks. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 is the verse that I want to show you this evening. There's a lot of them in here. In fact, the little lesson that was tied into the message this morning about how God gives you what you need for now, God gives you what you need for the future, and God gives you what you need in order to make a difference for eternity. That's right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But verse number 7 says this, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You've got that phrase, purposing in your heart. This, I am going to decide, I'm going to make a decision, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I am going to give this particular gift or this amount. So it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Just understanding the context there. And we're talking about giving towards missions. If you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul's talking about giving to him so that he could take this offering and give it to these churches, all right? So you got faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. If it's not of faith, it's sin. Then you have this challenge to purpose in your heart or to promise, I am going to give this amount. Then you've got missions, faith, promise, missions. And for that, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we call this the Great Commission. The Great Commission, God's reason for leaving us on this earth, this purpose for the church and the purpose for Christians. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven, and he gives us this command. So Matthew 28, verse number 18, Jesus, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Here you've got a command. It's not called missions here, but that's exactly what it is. Going into all nations and teaching them. Then it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here you've got missions. Jesus giving this to those first disciples, those first Christians, and saying, look, your job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go to every nation, teach them how to be saved, baptize them, and then teach them how to live the Christian life. That is missions. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you've got a very similar verse. I'll read it to you. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria," and here's the phrase, "unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, if you've been here for any time at all, a couple years or so, you know that we've taught this over and over. The word "both" there is so very important. You're supposed to be a witness here where you are, and you're supposed to be a witness where you aren't. And the way we do that is missions. Brother Joel Wells just teaches that so very well, and many of you have heard him teach on that. So we're supposed to be witnesses here, supposed to be witnesses somewhere else, into our surrounding area and into the uttermost parts of the earth. How can we do that? How can we be witnesses in both places and do that at the same time? The answer is missions. We can be witnesses here by telling people about Jesus while we're here, and we can be witnesses somewhere else by supporting someone else who is telling people about Jesus there. So faith promise missions is when a Christian purposes in his heart to give what he believes God wants him to give to the great work of worldwide missions. Now, the Bible doesn't straight out call it faith promise missions. Sometimes it's called grace giving. It's called lots of different things. But I believe this is the biblical plan. Some churches will do it differently. Some churches will have all the tithes come in, and they'll take a percentage of the tithes and use that for missions. I don't believe that's God's plan. I believe God's plan is for us to give our tithes and give that to the Lord, and then above that, give towards missions. And we'll talk about that from the book of Malachi at a different time. All right, so let's talk about faith for a minute. We accept a lot of things by faith. When you walked in this evening, now there may be somebody, and I'd like to know who that was if you did. You may have walked in this evening, some of you, and maybe checked out the pew you were sitting on, you know, shook it real good to make sure it was going to hold some weight, make sure it was nice and structurally sound, the engineers in the group, right? Maybe you looked underneath, make sure the legs went all the way to the floor. It's a good thing if your chair's legs go all the way to the floor. Sometimes they don't in church pews, okay? You may have rocked it back and forth to make sure that it was going to hold you. You may have asked somebody else to sit down on it first before you sat down on the pew just to see if it was going to hold you or not. But most of us just came in, and what do? We just sat down. You accepted by faith that seat was going to hold you. Maybe it's because it held somebody else. Maybe it's because it held you this morning in the same place. But you accepted it by faith. We accept a lot by faith. If we believe in creation, you've got to believe it by faith because you weren't there. You didn't see it. In fact, the only one who did see it was God, and he told us about it. You've got to accept it by faith because you didn't see it. You've got the same thing about evolution. If you accept evolution, it's got to be by faith because you can't prove that either. You know, the only way to answer the three most important questions in life is by faith. Do you know what those three most important questions are? You might know the answer to that. I think these are the three most important questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? Those three questions, probably the most important questions. And all of them have to be answered by faith. God designed it that way. He could have made a recording of the creation. Wouldn't that be awesome? Pop in the DVD. Does anybody even use DVDs anymore? It's rare, right? Becoming a more rare and rare thing. But you pop in the DVD and there you have creation on the screen in front of you. God could have done that, but he chose not to. He wants us to believe that by faith. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so he wants us to just accept that by faith. God could force us to live our lives to please him. He doesn't do that. What is my purpose here? God could force me to live my life so that I have to live for him, but he doesn't do that. He wants to me to live by faith. Where am I going when I die? He could take us for a few minutes to either heaven or hell and show us where we're going when we die, but he doesn't do that. I believe if he did that, every one of us would believe. But he didn't do that. For whatever reason, he decided not to, and I believe it is because that has to be a decision that we make by faith. Where did I come from? We've got to understand that by faith. What's my purpose? I've got to understand that by faith. Where am I going when I die? I've got to make that decision by faith. We have to answer all these questions by faith. But that's the way God wants it because we read this, or I read it to you. Romans 14, 23, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we interpret the world we live in by faith. Where we came from, where everything else came from. We live our life by faith, why we're here. We determine our eternity by faith, where we're going. So here's the question. Why should we try to reach the world with the gospel without faith? Do you see where I'm going with that? Everything else requires faith. Where I came from, why I'm here, where I'm going when I die, that's all. Those are all answered by faith. So why do we try to reach the world with the gospel and do it on our own? Doesn't make any sense. That's why we have what we call faith promise missions. And here's the gist of it. The idea behind faith promise missions is this. I go to God and ask God, what do you want to give to missions through me? God has every resource available. God can give whatever he wants. As the Bible says, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's got to be a lot of cattle. Depends on how many cows are on each hill. God owns everything. He doesn't have any problem. But here's the thing. He uses us to give. He uses us to supply. He uses us to provide his work. Faith Promise Missions is simply this. When God says, I want to give through you to missions, it's me just saying, okay, God, I will by faith trust that you're going to give that to me to give to missions. We need to trust God to do what God wants done. We need to reach the world by faith and not by sight. By sight would be me looking at what I have and say, okay, God, I'm gonna give what I have to missions. I'm going to give some of what I've gotten. And if here it is, and it's not by faith, but I believe I can do this. I believe I'll give this. So that's by sight. But we need to reach the world by faith. Now think about this. I'm going to logic with you a little bit. This is God's world. Everyone and everything belongs to God. And God wants everyone reached with the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. Realize this. Every person in this world was bought with a price. We go back to those whosoever verses. He paid the price for everybody. He paid the price for everybody in here. He paid the price for everybody that's not in here. God already paid the price for every person in this world to go to heaven when they die. The price has been paid. And what a horrible and huge price that was. But Jesus died for the entire world. Miles quoted this to us tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And whosoever meaneth me, it means you. It means everybody. The price has already been paid. Here's what I want you to understand. If God loves everybody, and God has already paid the price for everyone to go to heaven, don't you think God would pay the price to get the message of the gospel to all of those people that he already paid the price to go to heaven? And I believe the answer is yes. God commanded us to reach everybody. We read the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This world is God's, and He wants it reached with the gospel. The Bible not only gives us the command to reach the world, it also gives us the plan to reach the world. And there's more to that, more than just the command and the plan. We'll get to it in just a little bit. But that's if the world is God's, and He wants it reached with the gospel, which He completely provided without any help from us, doesn't it make sense that God's more than willing to supply the money necessary for the cost of reaching the world? That just makes sense, and that really fits with what the Bible teaches. God loves everybody. God paid the price for everybody to be saved. So God is more than willing, and He wants to reach everybody with the gospel, and He's going to use us to make sure the gospel gets to everybody. Whether it's us going and telling somebody how to be saved, or whether it's us paying for somebody else to go and see somebody saved, God is more than willing to provide all the resources necessary to make that happen. Philippians 4:19 says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His," do you know what that next word is? "Riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Wow. God said, "I'll give you everything you need. And I'm not broke. I've got the riches to back up this statement. I'll give you what you need." In Philippians chapter 4, Paul was speaking to the church about how they were supporting him as a missionary. And he said, "God shall supply all your need according to His riches." He taught them God would supply all their needs. He taught them that God would supply all their needs based on God's riches. Now let me ask you this. What riches does God have? We already know that He owns the cattle. But there's so much more than that. He paves His streets with gold. He builds His walls with the most precious stones we know of. He makes His gates out of massive pearls. And that's just His building materials. God's riches are beyond our comprehension. I don't think it's just figurative language either. I think when God says, I really believe this, when God says the streets are paved with gold up in heaven, that they really are paved with it. And it's a gold that we can't even imagine, so pure that you could see through it. I can't even imagine a see-through metal. You know, Star Trek had something going on there. They figured something out. God, listen to this, His riches are enough to be able to reach the entire world with the gospel. God's more than capable of supporting the work to get the gospel around the world. God does not expect us to pay for His work to be done. Now think about this. I'm giving you a lot of statements I'm trying to teach tonight. God doesn't expect you to pay for missions. God doesn't expect me to pay for missions. God doesn't expect our church to pay for missions. It's His gospel plan. It's His people He wants to reach. It was His sacrifice, and it's His money that He wants to use to reach people with the gospel. Every Christian has a responsibility to give to the great work of missions. I missed something I was going to say. Nobody has enough money to reach this world with the gospel, but God does. It's not our responsibility to give. Let me say it a different way. God doesn't expect us to pay for reaching the world with the gospel. He's going to do that. But what He's going to do is He's going to reach the world with the gospel through us. If you can, if that concept, if you can understand that concept, you get the whole idea of faith promise missions. God's more than willing to provide a way for us to be able to give above what we are able to give in our own power. One of the verses that we're going to read is in 2 Corinthians. We won't go there right now. But you know, actually, I want you to do that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would. Chapter 8. And I just want you to see this is an example, and I've got to move quickly because I want to finish this whole thing. This church that Paul was writing to, what Paul says is that they gave above what they were able to give. Does that make sense? Is that confusing anybody else? That confuses me. How do you give more than you are able to give? Well, it's because God comes in and He provides more than you had to start with. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit," or we want you to know, "of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Listen to this verse. Verse 3. "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." He goes on to talk about how they gave above what they were able to give. God's more than willing to provide a way for us to be able to give above what we're able to give. Now, every Christian has a responsibility to give to the great work of missions, because Jesus said to be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. We have that responsibility. If you are a Christian tonight, you have a responsibility to give towards missions, to be a witness here and to be a witness somewhere where you're not. So that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. How does that happen? So we've got the responsibility. The Bible says God will supply our needs as we give to do His work. God's plan for supporting missions around the world is what we call faith promise missions. Here's His plan. Some people call it grace giving, because we see the word grace in here. This grace abounded. Faith promise missions, it just describes it well. You don't have to call it that, but this is what we're supposed to do. God's plan is He provides, and we give, and we trust that He's going to provide it, and we are going to purpose in our heart what we are going to give. That's why you've got the faith and the promise and the missions. God's plan is not sight promise. That is, you make a commitment and give based on what you think you can afford. Sight promise would be giving to missions based on your budget. That's not what God talks about. He's talking about giving beyond what you're able to give and giving by faith and living by faith. God's plan is not sacrifice promise. What's sacrifice promise? Well, it's a made-up word as well. That is, sacrificing something here and there and then saving that money so that you can give it to missions. Sacrifice promise would be skipping a Starbucks once a week so that you can save that money and you can give it to a missionary. And that's not a bad thing. And if God tells you to do that, do that. It'd be fine to do that. Or whatever else. I'm picking on the Starbucks people here. Whatever else it is, your Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Does anybody even drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee anymore? Some people do. If you're not from around here, you're like, it's just hard to find one. It's not just sacrificing. It's not taking the bus to work one day a week and saving that money and the gas money and giving it to missions. That's all we're talking about. That would be sacrifice giving. So we're talking about faith promise. That is, making a commitment based on God directing the amount you should give and then giving it and trusting Him to consistently supply it. I know that was a mouthful. It's me saying this or doing this. God, what do you want me to promise towards missions this year? What do you want me to purpose in my heart that I'm going to give to missions this year? You know, when you pray to God, you can expect Him to answer. One of the big problems, I think, with Christianity is we think we're supposed to pray to God and He's just so far away, we never really hear back from Him or don't get an answer. When you pray to God, I believe God answers. You ought to expect Him to answer. May not be in an audible voice, most likely won't be. He doesn't have to speak through our ears. He lives in our heart. He lives in our spirit. He lives inside us, in our inner man. He can speak directly to our hearts. So, and He answers our prayers. Faith promise. Making a commitment based on what God directs us to give, and then giving it and trusting Him to consistently supply it. If God says, I want you to give this much to missions, and God's the one that gives me this, God says, give this much to missions, I can trust that He's going to provide that much to missions because He's the one that told me to give that to missions. That's how we ought to live all of our life, really. You ought to commit to God that you're going to serve Him wherever He sends you, and then follow through and stay in the center of His will. We're talking about money, so it's a little bit more personal, a little bit harder to. I mean, most of us would say, wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. We would say that, but would we say, whatever God wants me to give, I'll give? See, when it comes to money, it's a little bit harder because, here's the reason. I think it's because, the chance of Him actually moving me to Africa is a lot smaller. So I'll say that I'll do it if He wants me to, but that's a whole lot smaller of a chance than Him actually saying that I want you to give a little bit more than you want to give. So this is how we ought to live our life. Commit to God to give the first 10% and then trust Him to provide for the rest. This is a great lesson for every Christian. You've got to understand this. God says the tithe belongs to Him. If you don't give that first 10% to God, you're stealing from God. In fact, the Bible calls it robbing God. So that's what the Bible teaches. So that is faith. And it takes faith to say, okay, God, I'm going to give you that first 10% right off the top. Now, it's His money. He provided it for us, so we get the idea that it's ours, but it's His. And so we say, God, you can have that first 10% off the top, and I'll figure out how to live on the other 90. I'll figure out how to live on the rest. Here's what we are finding. Here's what my family has found. It's easier to live on the 90% that you keep than on the 100% if you try to keep all of it. Because God, it's amazing how God blesses. But you got to commit to faith. You know, in fact, we'll go into percentages another time. We'll get to that in a little bit. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, they're about Christians giving to missions. We already read through that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We want you to understand this grace that God has given them. And God has given them this grace to be able to give. Now, grace is something that God does in our lives that allows us to go beyond ourselves. The Bible says of these people in Macedonia, they were in deep poverty. They didn't have the resources to give. Can you imagine trying to support missionaries and trying to make a difference around the world, but we're in such deep poverty that we couldn't even give anything? I can't really imagine that. That's not where we're at. But this describes these people. They wanted to give. In fact, they gave of themselves to God first, and they said, "God, we'll do whatever you want us to do. We'll go wherever you want us to go. We'll give whatever you want us to give." And then the Bible says that they were able to give above themselves. The Bible says they had an abundance of joy. I wrote a math equation. Affliction plus poverty plus joy equals liberality. Affliction, they were dealing with some hard times. And they were in poverty. They didn't have anything to give. It was an amazing, I'm not sure if I got my equation exactly right. But as they gave, they had this amazing joy. And they were able to give above and beyond what they had. God wants us to exercise faith and not finances in reaching the world with the gospel. I'm coming back to this. This is God's world. God wants to save the world. God's more than willing to finance his work if we'll exercise faith to let him give it through us. When God sees someone, and here's how it works. When God sees someone who's a good steward of what he's given to him, he's more than willing to give him more so that more can be given. And this is where we come in. If God sees a person who gives that 10% that they know they're supposed to give to God, they're a good steward with the money, and they have a willing heart, and they say, "God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll give what you want me to give. I'll speak to the people you want me to speak to. I just want to serve you. I have a willing heart to serve you." And God sees that. That's the person God's looking for to give that more money to, so that not so that we can increase our standard of living, but so that we can increase our standard of giving, as we talked about this morning. And then God says, "Here, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless somebody else. You can be a conduit." We don't really have a lot of drainage pipes like gutters around here. Maybe you have some gutters on your house. But the gutter on your roof is what takes the water from one place and it transports it to someplace else and it delivers it somewhere else. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a conduit. He wants us to be a rain gutter, if you want to say it that way, where he can dump in the blessings on this side and the blessings can go all the way through and then drop down to the bottom and come out on this side. You know what the problem with rain gutters is? When they get clogged up. When you get leaves, we don't even understand what this is in Albuquerque, really, right? When you get leaves in your rain gutter. Whenever we were first married, I'd been married for probably about 6 months. I got laid off of my job, and I went house to house cleaning people's rain gutters. And they had leaves, and they had all kinds of junk and dirt and gravel from the roofs in their rain gutters. And here's what would happen. The water would come in, and it would get stuck. And it couldn't go all the way out to where it was supposed to go, out onto the lawn. And so many times that happens with us as Christians. God wants to bless somebody over here, and he wants it to come through us. And as it comes through us, it gets stuck in the weeds and the mud and the whatever it is in there. We need just to clear that out and let God get to be able to take the blessings. And here's the way it works. As God gives you blessings to give to other people, he lets you keep some of it. He doesn't say here, "I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you this, and you've got to give everything." God rarely says to somebody, "Give everything I give you." He usually says, "Here, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to let you keep a whole bunch of it, and I want you to use some of that, and I want you to give that to somebody else so they can get saved." The Christians in Macedonia had nothing to give. But because of their willingness to give, God provided a way for them to give, and they gave to missions. Now, we don't have anything it takes to reach the world with the gospel. We're just about done. Listen to this. We really don't. Can I reach the world with the gospel on my own? I have nothing to give. It's God's message. It's the gospel. It's God's faith. We read that God dealt to every man a measure of faith. And for grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So God, it's God's message, it's God's faith, it's God's money. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then we've got this amazing verse in Luke. If you turn there, it's the last verse we're going to. It's in Luke chapter 6. This amazing verse that tells us if God blesses us and we will give, how God will continue to bless us. It's an amazing, powerful verse. I want you to see it, and we're almost done. Luke 6 and verse number 38. Here it is. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Listen, it's God's money. And he says, I'm going to give you this money, and I want you to use it to reach missionaries, or to send missionaries to reach the world with the gospel. And if you will give it, I'm going to give to you more, and I'm going to give to you more, and I'm not only going to give you the same amount that you gave, but I'm going to press it down, smash it together. It's going to be running over. I'm going to give you abundantly in the same measure that you gave out to somebody else. It's God's money, and he said he'd bless you as you use it for him. God's plan for reaching the world with the gospel is for us to send missionaries carrying his message, paid for with his money, given through his people, that's us, with the faith that God provided. Now, it's God's plan. It's a great plan. It's all on God to provide. It's his responsibility to provide. He said he'd provide. He wants to provide. He can provide. He will provide. But God only provides through people who are willing to give by faith. Because if it is not of faith, it is sin. And back to that very first verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's God's money. It's God's plan. He wants to give it to us so that we can give it to others. And he wants to use us as a conduit, but we've got to do it by faith. Faith promise is not a matter of finances. It's not where the pastor gets up and tries to make you feel guilty about missions works and people in foreign lands. And so you've got to give money to support missions. That's not the point. If you give because you're feeling guilty, you're not giving by faith. That's not the goal. The goal is for each one of us as a Christian to say, God, I want to make a difference in this world. I want to be able, as we talked about this morning, invest in eternity. And I want, if you would use me, God, and if you would put into my life what I can use to give to somebody else, I would do that. And I know it's not about the amount, but it's about the faith. And God, would you just use me? Do you have faith to allow God to tell you how much to give to missions? Just ask him. God, what would you have me give to missions? Do you have faith to give that amount? I know I'm scaring you. I know it. Next week when the missionaries are preaching, one of them's probably going to say something like, do you have the faith to say, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go? One of them's probably going to, because they've got a heart for missions. Do you? I know these are tough questions. I hope you do. I hope you'd just be willing to say, God, wherever you have me to go, I would go. But tonight we're talking about faith promise missions. Do you have the faith to ask God, God, what would you have me give? And let God answer that. I'm preaching this week because I want you to pray about it this week. And I want you to pray about it next week. I don't want you to make a rushed decision. I want you to really pray and ask God, God, what would you have me to give? Do you have faith to trust that God is going to bless you for your faith? He said he would. Now, if the answer is yes, great, do it. And here's what's going to happen. You'll be able to watch as missionaries are supported and God uses you as a channel to support them, and God blesses in greater ways than what you gave. It's an amazing thing how God works. I can't explain it all, but I know that it's true. God has said it, and I've experienced it in my life. Now, if you have the faith to do that, that's great. But listen, if you don't have the faith to do that, here's what I want you to do. I want to challenge you to start. Start small and let God grow your faith. If you don't have the faith to say, God, here we go. I'm going to give a certain percent. Here's what I did this last year. I made a faith promise commitment, and it was about the same as the year before. And I said, God, I want to do this. God said to prove him in the area of finances. So I said, God, I'll give in any area where financially, if you anything above what I'm expecting in income this year, I'll give 10% of that to missions. It's been amazing what God has done. And what we've been able to give to missions in addition to what we thought we were going to do. So, but if you can't say 10%, say, God, I'll give 1%. I'll give half a percent or a certain amount, whatever that is. And again, I'm going to teach on percentages another time. But just if you'd start small and say, God, if as you provide this, I will give this. I'll be the conduit. I'll just let you provide it and I'll give it. You may not have a whole lot of faith right now to give to Faith Promise Missions, but I do want to encourage you to begin. Even if it's small, to begin, to give towards missions. And as we pray about it, pray that God would show you what He wants you to give and let Him build your faith. And if you don't have faith now, begin to give by faith and allow God to grow your faith. Giving to missions in this manner will grow your faith. You'll be able to look back in a couple of years and say, wow, my faith was so much smaller back then. And God used and God provided and I was able to, my faith grew because I gave to missions. Faith Promise Missions. It's God's faith. It's God's plan. It's God's sacrifice. It's God's money. He just wants to use us to get the message of the gospel around the world. Father, I pray that you would help us to really think about these thoughts, these truths over this next week. Lord, I pray that you would put a desire in our hearts to make a difference in the area of missions. And I pray that you would lead each and every one of us and help us as we pray and we ask you to guide us in how you want us to give. I pray that you would answer. I pray that you would make it very clear for us. And I pray that you would use us in a great way to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.